Bonjour, and welcome to the Amateur Detective Club. This club is exactly how it sounds. A bunch of amateurs talking about their favorite mysteries. So if you encounter a real mystery or a murder, contact the proper authorities. Do not come to us. We do not know what we are doing. But enjoy the program. Allons-y. Let us begin.
I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. My name, why, it's Tristan Miller, the sauce is who.
And I'm Melissa Maley, the spy.
It's 9 o'clock on a Thursday.
And you know why? Because we've been sitting here talking for 2 hours without recording it. Why don't we just record our conversations? Because sometimes we gossip.
We gossip? Yeah, we do gossip. For two old biddies that love to goss, number one, number two, it would be just a podcast. It would just be like a norm podcast, and I only do themed podcasts.
No, that's true. That's true.
Which I've tried, by the way, you can find us on the Scavenger Network. I've tried so many times to just start like a norm podcast of like, mm-hmm. Hey, these are just people talking, and it just like, it's fine, but I'm always like, to what end? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, you can find us on social media at ADC Pod.
The Patreon, same thing. Give us money. Episodes go up when we record them early enough. And I shouldn't be so dismissive. ScavengerNetwork.com. And they got other podcasts. Check them out. Go to ScavNet. Follow them there.
We are not being dismissive. We are being efficient.
Sure. thank you for giving me the benefit of a doubt.
We got a weird energy
today. Yeah, I'm in a bad mood. Something happened. I don't want to talk about it, but it's not with Melissa. She and I are fine, I guess. But no, something annoying happened in my life, and I'm in a bad mood because of it. But also, I wanted to, in that light, I wanted to plug my own stuff. If you want to listen to me be in a bad mood more. I'm doing Twitch streams where I do comedy shows. Don't worry, I swear to God, they're good. They're actually quite fun. I play Quiplash with a bunch of comics, and that's going to be every Tuesday night at 8. And then I've been doing some other stuff as well, including the return of Focus Testing, which is a podcast where I improvise movies with a guest, but I've extended it to also be an interview and talk to movies about somebody.
Wow.
Talk to movies about something.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You just yell at the screen. Don't go in there. Don't do it. Hey, Sandy, you got to fly this car with me. got a weird energy. I'm tired. I'm working. I'm turning in Craig Ferguson. I'm tired. I only got 5 hours of sleep. Oof. I'm sleepy and in a bad mood. Great for podcasting. Melissa, you said you had something you wanted to talk about before we got into the episode.
Yeah. So I went to my routine oncologist appointment. I have to go just to check in.
Sorry. An oncologist, one who studies uncles. Continue.
Yeah. In case for some reason this is your first episode of this podcast, I had cancer 4 years ago. And... yeah, my treatment ended about 3.5 years ago. And so I have to go to see my mm-hmm. oncologist routinely. She checks up on me, makes sure everything is okay.
Gives you a glass of warm milk.
Mm-hmm.
Tucks you in.
Yep. And today was, so I was on, at first I was on like, I go in every 3 months. I think that was it. And then I went to every 4 months. I'm now at every 6 months.
Good.
Next time I see her is July.
Great.
So this is the longest I will go without seeing my oncologist.
Which is great because you can't stand her.
I love her. Actually, I was like, oh, just because I like her so much.
Are you going to text her? Like, what? Do you have a crush on your oncologist?
No. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell with women.
Sometimes, same, honestly. I'm constantly like, do I like you? Do I want to be near you? Do I want to be you? Do I want to be in you? Yeah. What's going on?
There's a lot to figure out. No, I just like her. She's fun. Also, like, they wrote in the notes that I was running the Philadelphia Marathon and asked about it.
Oh, that's nice.
It was really nice.
That's nice.
So she's very happy that I'm running. Mm-hmm. Exercise is shown to have benefits for helping prevent cancer recurrence. So, you know.
Yeah. Also, exercise has proven to benefit literally every part of your life, it turns out.
Yeah, it's really annoying that that's true.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? It really sucks that, like, even exercising 5 minutes a day will help your heart and your mind and your mental health and everything about it. And it just stinks. On kind of a similar note, me, number one, congrats that you're going down to 6 months.
Thanks.
Which is great. That's got to be a load off your mind, though.
It is. And it's also like, are you sure? Are you sure? Am I really that okay? So.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think my mother, who also had cancer a few years ago, she goes, I think, every year.
Yeah. She's a little bit further out from it than I am.
Yeah. She had it back in 2011.
Yeah. God. Good. 10 years. That's great. That's great. Reaching 10 years is a huge milestone.
Yeah.
Reaching 5 is a big one too. I will get there in 2023.
Sorry, I just had a realizing that was a decade ago. Because I was like, it was when I was in school like 2 years ago. Nope.
Yeah. I know.
I don't you anyone listening do any math on that. I am perpetually 26. Wait. And will be till the day I die.
So am I.
All in favor of 26, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. What's that? I also heard Tyler. He,
yeah.
He like Aquaman.
Actually, I do wonder what Tyler's perpetual age would be. We'll have to ask him when he's back.
Yeah.
Soon, by the way.
Ooh.
Ooh. A tease there. But yeah, I wonder if he'd say like, 72.
The way I've always described myself is I'm either a 71-year-old man or a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm going to talk to you about the war, but the war might be the DJ I'm dating.
Right.
But yeah, I have like that, either that vivacious energy, you know, it's because I have a mood disorder, but I have that vivacious energy of like, ooh, you know, or I'm like, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I just want to sit on my porch.
Yeah.
But I went to a dietitian recently, or a nutritionist, I should say.
Yeah.
And I'm actually eating 3 meals a day for once in my
life. I'm so happy.
Yeah. And it turns out I've like had more energy lately. I'm like, oh, that's weird. What's going on? I'm like, oh, it turns out if you eat 3 small meals every every like 4 to 6 hours, it turns out you don't get as tired.
Yeah.
Crazy, dog.
It works.
So whack. Yo,
I know.
Have you heard about this? But like, I've always kind of gone, 3 meals a day is kind of, you know, BS. Cause like, kind of to the point of like, what's it called? Intuitive eating. You know, I would just kind of snack whenever, like, have whatever whenever I got hungry, I'd eat throughout the day. But then I'm like, oh no, if you actually sit down and have like a meal, it does help. And that's been really great. So, you came to a podcast to hear about...
our health.
Yeah. You came to a podcast to hear about Poirot, realized we were doing Star Trek, and then just sat through us going, you should exercise more.
Maybe eat food.
Yeah.
Turns out, fruit.
But the... I had an apple for the first time in a literal year last week, and I was like, hey, hell yeah, this is actually not that bad. It's just like not my first instinct, and that's, again, it's about build back better habits. But my nutritionist, I'm like, oh, you're from Queens. Got it.
Oh, that's great.
She was like, okay, so can you give me like, I don't know, like a potato with this and with that. I was like, carrots, they're good. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in love with you. I love that so much. I find
that's
that
really
accent
fun.
So charming. I really do.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so look at us, two health nuts.
Yeah.
So I was like, you reach a certain point, you reach the age of 26, and
perpetual age of 26.
Where you go, oh, yes, I should start taking care of myself. I'm in my late 20s now. I should. I'm in the second half of my 20s. I'm being 26 and all. I should start taking care of myself in a way that makes sense and stop doing Molly off of people's abdomens. I've never done that, but it sounds fun. But it also, like, sounds exhausting. That's the thing. We're already in the weeds. Might as well,
like, just dig in.
Yeah, yeah. Like that gif of Homer Simpson going into the hedge. Drug culture, you know, I've been sober for 6 years. Hold your applause. I've been sober for 6 years or so. But I've never understood drug culture because I'm like, it sounds exhausting. It just sounds like a lot of work to obtain illegal drugs. Make sure you don't get caught with them. Find a cool place to do it with people that don't suck. That sounds like you can't. It sounds easier to get a good D&D group together.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
That is hard. I played 2 sessions of D&D once. It was great. It was really fun.
Is that sarcasm? I can't tell.
No, it was true. And then we never got it together again.
Yeah. I've never had a positive experience. Okay, I've had one positive experience playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm.
And that was because it was a comedy show at QED. It was called QED&D.
I went to that.
You went to that, yeah. And I had a fun time because I got to make jokes in front of an audience and people like understood that the thing was to have fun.
Yeah.
Rather than when you normally play with nerds, they're like, well, I want it to go good. And I'm like, no. This should be interesting rather than like, oh, let's us try to win. I'm like, there's no winning. We're just talking.
Yeah.
We're just talking. There's no winning. Just don't at me, nerds. If you do, it's Tyler Riley.
gosh, I hope Tyler is still listening to the podcast.
I hope Tyler isn't, but I hope Tyler's mom is. Oh, okay. We like to have fun here. We're not like other podcasts. We like to have fun.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, it's fun when it's good. And you can like vibe with people. But I've had so many people who are just like real jackasses.
No. See, the reason that we never got it together past 2 games was because it was a bunch of parents. No, I mean, truly.
Yeah.
One of whom is listening now. Hi, I love your children. But like, it's hard to keep it together.
Oh, sure.
And get that many people together for like, get it's scheduling.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard enough to get people to do a play.
It's hard enough for people to answer a phone call or a text.
Yeah.
Let alone get 5 other people. Are you now thinking of all the texts that you have pending?
Correct. Yep.
The way Melissa operates vis-a-vis responding to emails and texts is not something I could do. I look at her phone and I see the notifications and I astral project. I just cannot understand being okay with seeing the little notification. I hate them. I hate the little notification. I want them to die. I will forget.
So what happened the other day, my good friend texted me like 5 pictures of an email exchange. And
ooh, drama.
And I saw it and was doing like 3 other things at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I need to pay attention to this. But I had already opened it.
Yeah.
And she called me the next day and was wondering if something was wrong. And I'm like, I am so sorry. And she's like, no. I told her exactly what happened. Exactly like I just told it to you. And she said, oh, okay, great. I'm very relieved. I'm like, okay, thank you for understanding. She's like, I'm not mad. It's okay. But like, that is how I have to keep the notification. Otherwise, I will forget that the text exists.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't understand not responding right away. And I wish, this has gotten me in such, I'm such a loser, Melissa. I'm such a schmendrick, such a schmuck that like when people text me, I like try to play cool. But I'm like, it does bother me that I've not given them an answer within, because I'm able to. You know what I mean?
Oh.
If I can readily answer someone within 30 seconds of receiving a text message, I can't just like ignore something like that. I just don't have it in me.
Well, it's always because I want to go back and tend to it later.
Mm-hmm.
So if you send me a couple of TikTok videos,
as I want to do,
and I don't currently have the time to look at your TikTok videos that you have sent me, which I want to give attention to.
You shouldn't.
I will.
By the way you phrase that, I'm not sending her my TikToks. I will sometimes to people be like, hey, this one's for you. But like,
no, it's ones that
you would like.
Tristan
I curate,
thinks that I will like.
I curate TikToks for Melissa. I'm a TikTok.
It's great. It's really wonderful. They know that I don't actually go on TikTok unless someone sends me a video.
It's a cursed app. I was going to call it a website. It's not even a website. I love to say Tinder.com, but please continue.
I would get way too into TikTok if I was on it readily.
So we're here to talk about season one, episode 2 or 3, depending on where your life is at. on Netflix, it's episode 2 because they put the first 2 episodes together.
Of Deep Space Nine.
Of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Go Beyond the Deep Space Nine. Which is the name of the space station. Which, why don't we ever get any glimpses of DS1 or DS3? I think that would be fun. Because, real quick, finally found the joke. Nintendo DS9. There it is. Sure been made before, but there it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote notes about this that have nothing whatsoever to do with the plot.
Great.
As I am wont to do, because what I really want to do with my life is DVD commentaries.
Apparently.
But so we open up and Jadzia Dax is playing Wordle. She's playing space Wordle with a big old ball of energy. She's like in a crisscross applesauce situation. She's using her mind to play space Wordle. Now, Jadzia's Jack, yes, if it is, if it is, Jadzia Dax is, what is it, a Trill?
Yes.
A Trill
is a joined Trill.
A joined Trill, which a Trill is like a almost parasitic, symbiotic little guy that lives inside a host body.
And, well, the ankylosaur is.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. The little guy.
You can be a Trill and not have an ankylosaur.
Okay. Why would they name it a name of a dinosaur?
It might not be. That might be the Greatest Generation word for it. I honestly don't know.
Anyway, the Jadzia got a
symbiote.
Little symbiote. Yeah, Jadzia is Venom.
Yeah,
Jadzia is Michi. Sorry, that was just for me. So Jadzia is basically, there's a symbiote that goes through more than one host, and she's like the sixth one that this one has, and it's hundreds of years old. So
yeah,
you know, and she's new. But new body, new year, new me, new phone. Who dis?
Right,
but.
The previous host, Curzon Dax, died, and they took the Dax symbiont out of him and put it into Jadzia after much training to be a joined Trill.
Yes. So she has special mind powers because of it. So she's real good at playing Wordle. And so then Dr. Bashir, who's handsome doctor, he's just a very good doctor. That's his whole thing, is that he's handsome and doctor. And then later it turns out he's really good at being doctor because he's Ray Palpatine. So say it's the same trope. I don't want to get into it.
Spoilers for
a movie that came out 4 years ago.
Oh no, yes, but also for DS9. Yeah, this may be the second or third episode of this series, but we're gonna talk about what happens at like the end of it, so
yeah.
I hope you watch the whole thing or don't care.
Yeah, or you just stop listening, watch the entire thing,
and then come
for
back.
for this specific reason.
Yeah.
But he wanders in and he's mad horny. He's so horny for Jadzia. And this, okay, so the thing about this episode is, having seen the entire series, very similarly to watching the early episode of TNG.
Yeah.
Man, they do not know what the characters are yet.
No.
At all. There are, like, vocal choices
that
are not made until, apparently, next season. It's wild.
Yeah.
They're all pretty one-dimensional characters at this point, with two notable exceptions that I would love to hear your opinion on. that are really already the actors like knew what exactly what they wanted to bring to the character, and that's Quark.
Yes.
And then Kira.
Yeah.
Kira is like fully formed as a character. She's just already there.
Yeah.
And she's just like this.
Yeah. And it's partially, especially from what I understand was going on behind the scenes with Jadzia Dax, partially the writing of Quark and Kira was pretty clear, but it's also the, I'm sure that they had good direction and whatnot with their characters.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the other folks did not as much. Mm-hmm. And what I should say is the creators didn't necessarily know what to do with all of the characters yet either. So it's not the actors entirely, but also Visitor and Armin Shimmerman, who play Kira and Quark respectively, are on top of their stuff.
Yeah. Armin Shimmerman also was one of the first Ferengi in TNG. So he's been being a Ferengi, which is a little ghoul of a man. For a minute, he knows how they operate. He's like the OG, so he's already like in it.
Yeah, but he was in that, but then what he's given with Quark is like
so clear cut,
so clear.
Yeah,
and Ben on Greatest Generation said about when he first saw Quark, because Ferengi have been very like cookie cutter characters, mm-hmm. like they're not particularly well fleshed out.
No.
Quark comes on screen for the first time and he's like making deals and like, charming you and whatnot. And he's like, this is the most competent example of a Ferengi that we've seen. And it's really quite true.
Yeah. Yeah. They absolutely like flesh him out and not make him a caricature, because in the other shows they're mostly just adversaries, they're like the villain of the week, so you don't need to go, okay, well why do they operate this way really. It's a very interesting, I like Ferengis as characters because they're such a fun critique of 90s capitalism in a really fun way.
And since we're talking about them, Quark has a brother, Rom.
Yes.
Who is in this episode?
Who is completely different.
Completely different.
They make Rom really unintelligent.
They do.
And I like it because he's really good natured.
Right.
And he's got a great heart later on. But in this episode, he's just like a Norm Ferengi.
Right. And he's
rude.
Yeah. It's really interesting to have just seen the finale of the show like a few weeks ago. And now to be going back to the first season is wild, like the whiplash. Rom is completely different in this episode than he is in most of the rest of the series.
Yeah. The episode where Rom unionizes is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. And on Labor Day, a lot of people just pointed at someone. At one point, they all just chant union, union. It's very good.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So she's playing Space Wordle, and then Dr. Bashir shows up. He's mad horny for her, and he is like, hey, baby, do you want to go to lunch? And she's like, no, I got plans. And he's like, I'm not going to take no for an answer, doll. And can you tell this was written by a boy? not a man, may I emphasize, a boy.
Right.
But anyway, she's like, and he goes, okay, so what are you doing? And she's like, I'm playing Space Wordle. You control with your mind. And he goes, okay, let me try. And he's like, she's like, you're going to be bad at it because you have to be focused. And he's like, I'm totally focused. And then he just fails at it. But she says it takes total focus. And she goes, clarity. And she really hits that T. And I'm like, where is she from where she's covering up an accent?
Mm.
I wonder. Or because no one hit. Would you hit the T in clarity?
No.
Clarity, right?
Yeah.
It's almost a duh sound.
Well, if I got really into my head about it, I might.
And maybe she's being an ass. Maybe that was the choice of her being like, you have to be focused and your clarity.
So from what I understand, Terry Farrell, who played Jadzia Dax, got some contradictory direction, especially earlier in the series, I would imagine, which is very clear because I was having trouble tracking what her character was all about because in some of the episodes, she was, I think, quite literally being instructed to be like Yoda. And this is one of them. She's very ethereal. Yes, the ways of Aye, the Trill are these ways, and we must go on these ways, and, yeah.
Yeah, but, cryptic.
Right, and in later episodes, she's, like, throwing huge parties, and, like...
She's such a fun character by the yeah. end of the series. She's... I'm glad they ironed her out.
Yeah.
A shame that she's not in the last season.
It is.
For a lot of different reasons.
Yes.
But anyway, so she's like, try my mind game, and he fails. And then Benjamin Sisko, who is the commander, is that his title?
He is commander when the series starts, yes. He becomes a captain later.
Okay, so he's Commander Benjamin Sisko. He shows up, and they're old friends. Well, kind of, because he was friends with the previous...
Curzon,
who's the previous host of Dax. So they go out to lunch.
Right.
Much to the chagrin of Dr. Bashir, who thinks for... some reason, despite apparently, no, this is actually consistent with character. He is unable to read people's intentions
vis-a-vis emotion. Yeah.
Vis-a-vis emotion, because he's like, ah, clearly I'm very hot and so is she, so we should kiss. And then Benjamin shows up and he goes, ah, clearly he's competing with me, when everyone is like, none of that is what is happening, my guy.
Right. He says that Curzon Dax is like a second father to him. And there's like some talk about stuff that he and Curzon did.
Yeah, in a scene later on.
Which yeah.
Is, which, by the way, he's like, ah, yeah, we went and we saw, he knew these two twins. And then I guess we're not going to be doing that. And I'm like, well, you had weird sex with your friend? And you're just going to not tell that story once you start?
Yeah. That's, mm-hmm. Exactly.
What? You can't. I get it. It's rated TVPG for sex and fear, but like, come
sex
on.
Sex and fear. Another thing about the Dax character, because she tells Julian later on that Trills are just like kind of above romantic relationships. And then later in the series, it's like the other Dax symbionts have been... in like various relationships, mm-hmm. have had various children, marriages, and later she marries Worf.
Oh, which is, can I tell you, so hot. She's really little and he's really big, and that's very good for me personally.
But she, you know, had friendships with Klingons, which is why the character that's in this episode is so wild. Like, oh, it's just so weird seeing. It's like, no, Jadzia goes around and drinks blood wine, and in this episode
and gambles.
Yeah, and in this episode she's having like steamed something or other with Sisko, and much is made of how boring it is.
Yes, much is made out of how boring it is. And admittedly, you could say like, oh, well, then that's character growth, that the longer she stays on the station, the more human she gets, like every other Star Trek character that they come up with. They can think of two. There's two Star Treks. There's two Star Trek characters, and they're okay. Doesn't understand how humanity works and needs to learn how it do it, or knows how humanity works and tries to teach how humanity works to other people. Those are the only two characters in Star Trek. It's just those two things over and over and over again. It's not bad, but you can boil it down to those two things.
All right, I'm not going to get into...
Fine. Fine.
I mostly agree with you.
Yeah, it's just like how the show works, because the show is about teaching what human values to people. Like, that's the thesis of the show. So, of course, that's what the characters are.
I mean, going where no man has gone before and experiencing new things, and the humans learn stuff, too. It's not just about
teaching. Yeah, so they can grow... They can teach themselves their own values.
Okay. All right.
Anyhow, it's about what it's like to experience humanity, whether or not that's challenged.
So.
And it's worse than Star Wars, but continue. I just want to start. I'm in a bad mood, and I want to start shit.
So Quark is talking to Odo.
Oh, yes, this scene. And it's everybody loves Raymond. It's.
And
well, okay, let me clarify what I mean by that is Odo is complaining about, because two other characters, a couple, are having an argument.
Yeah.
And Odo is like, ah, I don't want to be in a relationship because you have to compromise. You end up doing what the other person ends up doing. And it's just very like, Deborah, my rashes, but like, it's yeah. Like...
So just to quickly sum up, Keiko and Miles O'Brien, who we know from Star Trek The Next Generation, have now moved to Deep Space Nine. And Keiko doesn't like it. She's a botanist. They don't have an arboretum. And they do a lot of back and forth about, well, should we stay? And he offers at one point to resign. And then she's like, no, I don't want you to do that. But can you see our raising our child here? And it's like, all right, Keiko.
She's a real pain in the ass in this episode.
She is.
And it's interesting because she's really nice in TNG, from what I remember. She's pretty pleasant.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess a new situation can make anyone grumpy.
Yeah.
But also, like, I said this out loud. It's like, DS9 is Benjamin Sisko dealing with a bunch of irritable bisexuals. That's right. All it is.
That's correct.
It's just one straight guy going, oh. In a sea of bisexuality is what it is. And yes. I'm just like, everybody in this episode specifically is so irritable. Maybe I'm irritable and I'm projecting onto them, but like Odo is, Miles is trying his damnedest.
Yes.
With this woman. And then Keiko's a real pain in the ass. And Kira's not particularly pleasant for understandable reasons.
Yeah.
The only person who's like happy-go-lucky is Bashir, and he's annoying when he does it.
Oh, gosh.
But anyhow, Miles and Keiko O'Brien are having an argument because she doesn't want to be on DS9, and he took a job here. They had a discussion about it, but she still doesn't like to do it. And Odo is a pile of goo that can... He's a gooey little boy. He's a gooey little guy that can turn into anything he wants. He's a shapeshifter.
Right.
Can go, bloo, 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 look at me.
And they actually do a lot more with Odo being a shapeshifter in the earlier seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Boy, do they.
There's not as much later on. Odo is just in human form, like, all the time. And Odo is, you know, is not turning into any cool animals or a toaster or anything.
Doesn't he turn into, like, a crow at some time and, like, fly away? There's that one episode yeah. where he, like, finds a partner that is also, like, some sort of shapeshifter and they do a bunch of crap together and that's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, you're right. It's a really big thing in the first, like, two seasons. And then it just kind of goes away because they start focusing on other characters.
They focus on Odo plenty, but there's just a lot more...
goo.
He just doesn't shift as much. It's not fun.
I mean, with that being said, again, you could make the argument that the longer he stays on the station, the more human he gets because he's surrounded by these people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But... at any rate.
See, this is how you know Melissa and I have been friends for many years, because the yeah doesn't upset me. I don't think it ever did, but it particularly doesn't now.
Willing to do it because I don't think Tristan is going to think that I...
Yeah, you don't hate me.
Right.
You just are like, oh, come on, shut up.
Well, also, we have to...
Briefly, the amount... I recently went back and listened to the backlog of My Brother, and Me, and the amount... And they're all, obviously, they're all brothers. If you don't know the podcast, three brothers give advice. It's very fun and funny. But there was a point in late 2020 to early 2021 where they were telling each other to shut up a lot. And I was like, whoo, boy.
Yeah, the pandemic got to us all.
Yeah. So a yeah is fine.
I'm just, you know, gently teasing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm used to it.
So Odo was station security. So this space station used to be what?
Paul Blart Mall Cop, but with Odo.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good.
Summarize, I'm going to be giggling in the back.
Okay. So Odo was the chief of security when the station was occupied by the Cardassians.
Chicken Chow Lane.
An inside joke. If
you
Mall Cop 2 or listened to the podcast Till Death Do Us Blart enough. Yes. So that Odo has been on the station for a long time when it was under previous management.
Which is the whole point of the station, is that it was recently reoccupied
by the Federation. So Cardassians had been at war with the Bajorans, and now the Bajorans have joined forces kind of with the Federation. They're thinking about joining, but maybe not. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But there's a huge Bajoran presence because the Bajorans were very... had been treated very poorly, to put it extremely lightly.
Enslaved by the Cardassians.
The Cardassians for a long time. So
put in internment camps on the station.
Yeah, essentially. So Odo was there during that time and knows the second in command, Major Kira, who is a Bajoran. And she...
You can tell because she's got a little thing on her nose, a dangly earring.
Yes, earrings and nose ridges.
And that's it. Other than that, exactly the same as a human.
Right.
Which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's kind of the setup. Lots of Federation folks. And then Odo and Kira are the major characters that are, a holdover from the previous occupants, essentially.
I was going to say administration, which is not wrong, but makes it sound way too diplomatic.
Right.
But.
So, all that to say, Odo had put this guy away.
He sees a guy at the bar.
Yeah. He sees a guy at the bar, and he had put this man in prison for murder.
The way he says murder. Again, it's a clarity moment. But he says, he confronts him and gets a little physical with the guy. And he says, you have 26 hours to leave the station, which I really like.
I know.
Because it's like, oh, right. Because the days would be different.
Yeah.
Because it's a different planet.
Yeah.
That's fun. Like, that's a nice little bit.
Yeah.
Is that a world building?
Right.
I was going to say, then it's Keiko and Miles stuff. And he says something which is so, he is trying... Miles O'Brien is a good husband and father.
Yeah.
And Keiko is such a pain in the ass, specifically in this episode. Once she figures out what she wants to do, she's like, and that's understandable. You want a purpose in life. And if you're a botanist and you can't botan.
Yeah.
You don't botan to nobody. You would be cranky. It's completely understandable. But she's being a real
She's
stickler.
Taking it out on Miles in a way that is not helpful.
And Miles is trying. And at one point he goes, there's a wormhole next to this space station, which is why it's placed where it is. And he's like, there's a whole nother set of plants to discover on the other side of that wormhole there. I could ask someone if you could go. And she goes, I don't need any favors from you. What I need is, and he goes, he's trying so hard.
Yeah.
And can you tell? I'm assuming this script was written by a man.
There's no way
it wasn't, right?
Yeah. Everything that happens in this script points to it was written by a man. But after they have their little exchange, we're on the promenade and you see Jake Sisko, son of Commander Benjamin Sisko, already a tall boy, but a little
tall boy long body.
A little boy at this point come up to a Ferengi boy who is eating a Jum Jaw stick.
AKA like a lollipop.
Popsicle.
Yeah.
Like a gigantic popsicle.
Like a big ol'.
Like frozen ice.
What?
Treat.
Okay, so writers. Okay. Rick Berman.
Yep.
Michael Piller. Gerald Sanford. Yeah, and then obviously Gene Roddenberry's created by creating it.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Uh-huh, that makes sense.
Yep, that all makes sense.
So, yeah. And Nog is the Ferengi boy, who is the son of Rom, who we were talking about earlier. And Rom's like, why are you talking to me, human? And
that's how they say it.
Yep. And Jake is like, listen, you're the only person my age on this station.
Yeah.
And that's basically that.
Yeah.
So that scene, it's very brief.
So, because this is an interesting episode, because we're still in the beginnings of, we're setting up characters.
Yeah.
But, okay, so Ferengi could speak fluent basic. Or is that what it's called in Star Trek English? Is that called English?
Well, everyone has universal translators at this point.
Cool. So they're making the active choice to say human the way they do.
Yes.
Which, that is fascinating.
Yeah, there's is like this, little things that they
do. Like calling him Whitey?
I don't know. Maybe.
Eh.
But
certainly bigoted in some way.
Oh, yeah, sure. But yeah, Ferengi is not known for their courtesy.
Or tolerance of other human, other beings.
Right. So that's our first meeting of Jake and Nog.
Yep.
Soon to be.
Best friends.
BFFs. Nog also turns into.
Completely different character.
A completely different
Doesn't
character.
Doesn't he kill a guy? Yeah, he does. He goes to the war and he kills a guy and he can't deal with it.
I thought it was because of his leg. I can't remember him killing a guy.
Like, he's injured in some battle.
He gets injured.
And he
loses his leg.
Yeah, he has PTSD.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Jake doesn't go into Starfleet, but Nog does. And he's the first Ferengi to go to Starfleet Academy.
Jake becomes a journalist and basically writes listicles about about DS9. And that's literally what he is. He's like, oh, what to write about? What I should write about? I'm going to talk about how my dad owns a space station. Loop, 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 loop. Nepotism.
Anyway, yes.
The guy from the bar earlier shows up dead. Can we get to there?
Sure.
Because nothing else really happens, right?
Not really.
Oh, right. Other than Benjamin scolds Odo
for getting in a bar fight.
For getting in a bar fight.
Which is fair. Yeah. The chief of security probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But he's like, come on, this dude is terrible. So.
And then the dude gets a massage in.
The holo suite.
And then shows up dead.
With a begloved hand stabbing him right in the back.
Yeah. So.
Everybody has seen Odo get in a fight with him.
Everyone's seen Odo get in a fight with him. Also, during them talking about the incident, remember when I was like, it's weird when people say holosuite?
Yeah.
Kira says holosuite. That's the person
she?
That does.
Okay.
She says holosuite, which is like, I really love, and it's something I really enjoy about Star Wars, as well as how there's different pronunciations in all of this.
Yeah.
Because that's how dialects work.
Yeah.
But it is weird hearing someone say holosuite.
Yeah. And then after the murder, we get a quick cut to Jake and Nog starting to cause some trouble for the first and not last time.
putting weird beetles that make people change colors in the dining area of Quarks.
Yeah. So they run do that. Bashir flirts with Jadzia more. It's really
stilted. And this is where we get the conversation about relationships
and
trail.
Yeah, like it's a weakness of young hosts. It's like because Jadzia and Curzon and probably all of them were very horny.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jadzia specifically later on gets very horny.
Yes,
it's almost like Bashir transfers his horniness to her. Maybe that's the symbiote. Maybe the symbiote is just horny.
It's called a symbiote. It's not called an ankylosaur. I think that's just.
Because an ankylosaur is how I pronounce that word, but ankylosaur is also correct, is a dinosaur. It's the one that has the swingy tail.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and so does a little trill.
Oh, I cannot recall.
Doesn't it?
I think so. I think it has like a little clingy thing.
Yeah, there's an episode of TNG with a trill thing that happens. It's very weird. They have to like transfer it to Riker at one point.
Yeah.
And then Beverly has sex with him.
Hell yeah, dog.
Because Beverly was in love with the previous host. Which
I
is so strange.
Love horny Star Trek. I do.
Most of it is.
It's very horny. And it's a very horny show because it's like everyone's sexually liberated or whatever the hell these libs are on about. But it is very horny a lot of the time. And I really think that's fun, interesting, and also frankly very funny. I think it's very interesting. Sex is very funny. I don't know if you thought about this. Sex? Ooh. Pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. It is.
Turns out people think sex is funny for some reason. I love that Riker plays the trombone just because Frakes knew how to play the trombone. Like, there's always a certain point in a TV series where the character starts to not necessarily get lost, but they start throwing things in because they know that the actor can do it. Yeah. Like with Neil Patrick Harris and Barney singing.
Yeah.
You know, which I always find that very enjoyable.
I do too. I like it. Play to their strengths. Mm-hmm. So Keiko sees Jake and Nog causing chaos at Quark's and goes, "These children, they don't have any structure," which is not how she sounds.
At all. Not even remotely.
So I don't know what that was. But basically, like, oh, they don't have anything to do. What else? You know what they need? They need a school.
And she decides to start a school because they've been doing Zoom learning up until this point. Because he does, he says, learning on a computer isn't the same. That is correct. And I was like, yep.
Yep. So they come into the holosuite. The doctor, you know, gets a message saying, hey, we need you. It's like, turns out, dead person in the holosuite. The door was open twice total. Once for him to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And then once for someone to go out, but clearly not him because he's dead.
Mm-hmm. And there's no other DNA besides his.
Yep.
And the people
The masseuse was a hologram.
And then there's also traces of DNA of everybody that goes into the room.
Right.
Obviously, because that's how rooms and DNA works.
But, yes. So Dr. Bashir says this person stabbed the murderer stabbed this person in exactly the right place to kill them, had a familiarity with Bajoran anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they're trying to figure it out. And of course, everyone has seen Odo fighting with this man. So
let's call him Dungus.
His name is like
Dungus?
Ichabod? No.
It's certainly not Ichabod. You're.
It starts with an
like I. Undine or something like that. But I want to call him Dungus.
Ibadon. Audubon.
His name is ibuprofen.
And
what's the anti-poop medicine? The
Imodium.
Yeah, it's Imodium. So Imodium can stab.
So Imodium, yeah, it's the Bajoran man that Odo had been fighting with earlier. Did we say that? I don't know.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
that's the murder victim. Okay.
The murder victim is the man that, I said that earlier.
Okay, good. Otherwise, none of this makes any sense. Oh, do you like that I'm kicking my feet with your
little feet?
With your guest slippers.
Yeah, I have a pair for me and then a pair for guests.
Yeah. And I can't be barefoot because I have a sensitive foot.
Yeah. Watch what you say about it.
it's very sensitive.
Yeah. You're going to give it an SSRI soon.
Anything that works. It's very irritated right now.
We're getting silly.
Yeah.
Shoot, I forgot I have to edit this. It's always so fun recording. And then
Could they just... Ibudan. Ibudan is his name.
Ibudan?
Mm-hmm.
Ibudan.
Yes. So yes.
So Imodium. I refuse to acknowledge this person.
So this other Bajoran man says, yeah, I saw Odo fighting with him. He said he was worried that Odo was going to kill him. And now he's dead. So,
yeah. So, you know, Occam's razor.
Yeah.
Show me Odo Candle.
Right. And Kira says, that is just not possible. Odo is the most honorable man I've ever met. And it's just not true.
And Benjamin is like, hey, cool. Glad you like Odo so much, but you cannot just be yelling at people, Kira. You can't. You should not be doing that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know Odo like you do.
Yeah.
So I don't know that.
Right.
This is the second episode.
So Odo, because he's chief of security, is investigating this murder. And he's looking at his entries. And it says that he has an appointment with Odo in his, like,
the man's
planner. Yeah.
The man's.
Ibudan.
Yeah, Ibudan's iPad says
that he has an appointment with Odo, like, right for the time of the murder, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the hell?
He's like, that's suspicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't seen the show, that's not a good impression. It's not bad.
Right. Yeah, essentially. So then, B story, Keiko goes to the commander and says, hey, can I start a school? And he's like, absolutely. Sounds great. But I hope you know what you're getting yourself into, because these people are from all different
places
and cultures and all that stuff.
But Keiko says something wild, because it's immediately after she tattles on Jake for having fun.
Yeah.
And Benjamin goes, I don't want you hanging out with that Ferengi kid, which I'm like, hey, Benjamin.
Yeah.
That's racist.
Yeah.
You're being racist, number one. Number two, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Number three, Jake goes, he's the only kid my age, basically. And Keiko says something insane. She goes, no, there are 12 other children between the ages of 12 and 16 on the station. And I'm like, is it because you were doing research for the school, or are you just a pervert? Like,
yeah, no, it's because of the school. But no, it is a wild way of saying it.
And the way the actress delivers it isn't bad, because it's like kind of clunky, but it is like very matter of fact, and just like the way I delivered it is like really off-putting.
Yeah. So they're going through and talking about the DNA, and of course, because Odo is a shapeshifter or a founder or a changeling or whatever you want to call him,
Goo Boy.
Mm-hmm. A Goo Boy. If he was there, he wouldn't have left any DNA. And also, he's the first person to say, hey, another person to get into the Holosuite would have had to get in there, like, by a door.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, a crack in a door,
yeah,
I should
say. Yeah,
crack
in a door.
Which,
yeah.
The only, you know, person who could do that is me.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, he says it's like, it's a pretty neat package. It says that he was, you know, like, all signs point to. He's telling this to Kira.
On the bridge, or whatever they call it.
Ops.
Thank you. And this is when I first noticed it. Mm-hmm. His voice is almost where it ends up, but not quite.
Right.
It's very interesting. And at first I was like, oh, we're in a wide, they're using a boom. Maybe he's, like, projecting. But I'm like, no. And then I noticed the rest of the episode is, his vocal quality isn't exactly the same as it is the rest of the show. Also, a lot of this episode is ADR'd for some reason, and I want to know why.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, again.
Not a thing I noticed.
Yeah, we were talking off mic about how I'm an insane person, and I watch a thing, and I'm like, oh, I know how they do this. Isn't that interesting? Because that takes not the same as that, you know, like, and notice, like, continuity stuff, because I'm broken and can't just enjoy a movie.
Well, what I notice is how different the makeup is.
Oh, sure, yeah. It's a lot less extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, Odo's makeup is a lot lighter in this, like, the prosthetics that they put on him.
Yeah, yeah, which, you know, Renee already had a distinct face, shall we say.
Yeah.
So I feel like the amount of prosthetics that they ended up putting on him were a little unnecessary. Does that make sense?
If it had been this, because, like, the thing is that changelings or shapeshifters are... not great at, like, making noses and ears.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it kind of turned into a totally smooth forehead with, like, a smooth nose and, like, smooth ears. Mm-hmm. But, like, this was already fine.
Yeah.
This was already good enough. I wonder if it was just harder to do it like this.
Yeah, I would be interested.
Or if they wanted to make it more extreme. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think that this would have been serviceable for the whole thing. The Ferengi, that they've pretty much got down the prosthetics, but yeah, Rom's character changes so much. And this is the first time we meet Rom, and he's very like, are you going to teach? He's talking to Keiko about sending Nog to school, and he's like, are you going to teach my son like a Ferengi? Which is, like, not something that character cares about later, so it's really interesting.
Yeah, and he's also, like, he's doing a different, like, not only, like, a different voice, but, like...
Yeah.
Another character choice entirely. Like, he's already, he's putting on a completely different voice. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But basically, Keiko's like, please let me teach your son at my school. And he's like, why? And she goes, well, you guys are capitalists. And what better way to know how to sell something to someone is if you understand their culture. And he goes, oh, you could teach my son such things. And she goes, yeah.
Yeah, she's doing a really good job of...
She's doing, ironically, a very good sales pitch.
Yeah.
And and he goes, no, because you're also a woman. So yeah. Screw you. And then also there's... This all takes place at Quark's.
Yeah.
And there's Emperor Palpatine is at the bar, by the way.
Wildly, yeah.
Just there's a guy in a hood.
Yeah, there is.
A black hood, and he's like, yes.
Right. So the Bajoran man who had been like, yeah, I saw the whole exchange with and him talking about being scared of Odo.
Mm-hmm.
Ibudun thought he was that Odo was going to kill him, and he's like hyping up some more Bajorans to be like.
Let's go get him.
Yeah, basically.
Kill the beast. And
it's very big kill the beast energy.
And because they don't trust him because he was on the station while the Cardassians were running things. And Quark leans over and goes, hey, I don't like him. He's ill-tempered. He's an ass. But he's not a Cardassian sympathizer.
And he's not a killer.
And he's not a killer. So why don't you just calm down?
Yeah. And they're like, that guy really does hate him.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, I guess. Interesting.
And then it does pan over and Emperor Palpatine is there.
Yeah.
With a goatee. It's, it's evil twin Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, there you go.
Other notes, but basically...
What the heck is Julian doing?
Julian is running... So the next scene is Julian is running tests on a DNA sample that they found, and it turns out that it's, humanoid. So he and Jadzia are basically growing in a giant petri dish whatever the DNA is, which has some ethical questions. Because what if the thing you're growing is sentient?
And as it turns out.
Yeah. What if you just make a baby, but not in the fun way?
Yeah. Yeah. So essentially, the mob does get their... pitchforks out and try to kill the beast.
Yeah.
And they sing a whole song about it.
They do. They sing We Are the World, which it doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't. because they do eventually take Odo off the case.
Yeah.
Be like, listen, this is...
Yeah, it's at the very least a conflict of interest.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, I guess. Okay, fine.
But I'm not going to be happy about it.
No.
He kind of sounds like the doctor from Family Guy.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Griffin, your vitals are... No, that's just J. Jonah Jameson. Need those pictures of Spider-Man. Sometimes you try and you don't succeed.
Yes. Yes, it's true.
So then they also... There's another, like... They trash Odo's office.
They do trash Odo's office. And at first I was like, did they just like knock over a couple pieces of furniture? And I'm like, oh no, they trashed it.
There's graffiti.
There is graffiti.
Alberto was there. And so then Quark shows up and is like, hey, this stinks, huh?
Yeah.
You're off the case though, right?
Yeah.
And basically they talk things over and it's a really great introduction to their, pardon me, sort of like,
dynamic.
Yeah, contentious yet familiar relationship. It's only, you know, it's very fun. I really like their dynamic. I've always really enjoyed.
Yeah, it works.
It works really well. But at a certain point in the scene, and we'll get to kind of what the scene is about in a minute, but at a certain point, they're just both holding like a bunch of iPads in their hands, and it's the most absurd thing. Because, you know, in Star Trek, they use tablets.
Yeah.
But again, it is like, I can't remember who, it might have been the people from the Greatest Generation podcast. Someone pointed out that like, they got so close to understanding, yes, an iPad would exist.
Right.
But we need a lot of them.
Right.
It's so funny to see just a handful of iPads.
Yeah, for sure.
Like they're stocking the back room at an Apple store.
Yeah, it's really true.
But they're basically, he's like, you're off the case. Maybe you won't be chief of security. And then... Odo makes a play of like, well, your team need a changeling. And then he's like, you almost got me. And they kind of have like a laugh about it. And again, yeah. Their dynamic is very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good.
One of the best parts of the show, I'll say.
It always works. There's never a point in Star Trek that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
In DS9.
And then The next scene is them still growing the body, and then...
Spoiler alert, it's a body.
Oh, yeah, 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 it's a body. It's some sort of weird humanoid body, and they got a big old tank with a... Frankenstein homunculus.
Yeah.
Again, the ethical, like...
Oh, yeah. Julian says there's a genetic drift that he can't put his finger on, which is a really interesting way to say things.
They give Julian Bashir so much technobabble in this episode specifically. Yeah. And what's his name? Alexander Sinning?
Yeah.
Handles it so well.
Oh, yeah.
Does a very fine job of saying dumb stuff that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
Great. A plus. But then Benjamin is like, want to go to lunch? And Julian is like, yes. And Jadzia is like, no.
Right, because he was actually talking to Jadzia. But
then Bashir is who he is as a human being. A yep. man who knows he's a 10. Is there anything more annoying?
I love... And there are... He is written in a questionable way in a lot of moments. I always love Julian.
I know you do. I know
so
you
much.
Do.
And Kira, but that's more understandable.
Kira is very good. Very wholesome character.
I love her.
I know. I know.
And him.
I know.
And they were married in real life.
I know.
And I love that too.
I know. Okay, so the next scene, Julian and Benjamin go up for dinner, and this is where you me and the twins, and, blah, 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 blah. And then it cuts to
Keiko and Miles,
and Miles brings their child, whose name
Molly
does not matter.
It's Molly.
It's Molly. Molly O'Brien, and this kid is so cute.
She's so cute.
But the first line. This kid says, she goes, where you been, mommy? And it's so good. It's so funny. I lost my mind. She's just shouting. And she goes, well, I've been making this school. She goes, can I come too? And she's like, I wish, because then I'd know someone would freaking show up.
Yeah, which is a genuine fear. It, give Keiko something to do. And like, great.
Yeah, she just hates not being occupied. And I understand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, Miles very sweetly gives Keiko a school bell.
That like was, an old like, style school bell.
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, it's
school
so cute.
Alarm. It's very sweet. He's a great husband and a good father and is constantly stressed out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would have loved to see a series just about him that's like a sitcom.
Yeah. Like, do you know about the webcomic?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. Am I going to have to read?
Only a little. It's mostly pictures.
I like pictures. They're pretty. I like the colors.
It's just all about Miles O'Brien. I forget what it's called, but O'Brien at Work.
O'Brien at Work. Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Because there are some episodes that are very sitcom-esque, but like he is such a strong, and Colm Meaney is a very good actor.
Yes.
He was on some Irish talk show. And the interviewer is like, did you ever feel stupid saying all that nonsense? And he goes, only as about as stupid as you are for saying that. And it was very good. In the typical Irish fashion, very fun taking the piss out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Highly recommend you. He's a very fun man.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Is he?
And for one episode, because he guest stars and he plays... Charlie the character's father.
Okay.
His actual biological father. And seeing him like outside the context of Star Trek at the age he was like 2 years ago is like very interesting for me. I was like, what the hell?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so she's starting the school.
Yep. And then
where you been, mommy?
Where you been, mommy?
So good. So good, so cute.
Yeah, it's gotten to a point with the angry mob where Odo has to, like, barricade himself.
Inside his office, yeah.
Yeah. And O'Brien's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
He walks by. Actually, one of the best things that happens in this is Odo goes to sit down at Quark's. This is a little earlier. Mm-hmm. And people start going, I'm not sitting here with this guy, blah, blah, blah. And they start getting up. And there's this character, Morn, who doesn't say a word in the entire series. He is a, I forget what type of alien he is, but.
He's a big cutie is what he is.
Yes, he is a big lumbering looking fellow.
Imagine like if a sloth also had the mouth of a fish.
But the body of a human, kind of?
And the heart of an angel.
And Morn is always at the bar. Always, always, always.
Always, always, always.
And I don't think that this would have been as funny if I hadn't seen the rest of the series and known that Morn never leaves the bar. Morn is like Quark's best customer.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, Morn gets up and is just like, oh, I guess I have to leave the bar too.
Womp womp.
All right. I guess I'm following these guys. And Mark Allen Shepard is very subtle about it, but
it's very good.
It's very good.
I did catch that and I was like, there's something out of place about that.
Yeah. It's but really strange. I didn't
register it consciously.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Kira and Sisko get there. They're like, oh no, we have to do something about this, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And they make a plan because it's going to be harder to conceal if the numbers keep growing. Let's do this thing where we shut this down to slow the traffic on the promenade. Good idea. So they're taking, it's a lot of, and we see our Palpatine guy.
Yeah, he's watching the whole thing going, good, everything is going according to my design.
Yes,
it's a fun voice to do.
So we cut to Jadzia and Julian, and they have figured out that it's a clone.
Bum, bum, bum.
Their little
test tube baby.
Yeah.
So again, they bring this thing back. They grow it, but not to full consciousness. But it is a Bajoran.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
But Bashir doesn't think anything of it. Because he's Bashir.
It's an interesting experiment. I don't know.
Bashir's a weirdo, but he's so hot no one notices.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, where I constantly am trying to be.
They do a thing later in the series where they say that he's been genetically engineered mm-hmm. to be a big smarty pants.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's like superhuman at certain things. Like he's really excellent at darts. And he ends up being best friends with Miles O'Brien, which is wild, but it happens. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's one of the best part of the...
Yeah.
Bashir by himself, I find a little much, but when he's paired with Garrick or Miles, it's great.
Yeah.
When he's paired with someone, I like him very much.
Yeah. Part of it is just how it's written. When he's with one of them as opposed to just being himself, which is apparently,
I'm House, but if you were more handsome in space.
Yeah. So, they do a lot of, and that was not originally part of it. They did a lot of retcon.
Oh, for sure.
For that.
They're like, okay, how do we explain away that he's kind of an ass?
Oh, yes. Superhuman abilities.
This doesn't make him less of an ass.
No, it really doesn't.
If anything, he should know better if he's super. Anyway, we can't.
So, Odo, they find a way to get everybody out and free Odo. So what happens is, Odo goes to confront this guy and the Palpatine-looking fellow and says, listen, Ibudan's name was not on any manifest. What is your name? And he says, well, it's this. And he's like, ah.
Chief Palpatine?
That's right. That's what it is. And he gets him in a headlock and pulls off his mask.
And it's old man Jenkins, if you can believe it.
And it's Ibudan.
Yeah.
And Ibudan had made a clone of himself
mm-hmm.
and set it up so that it looked like Odo had murdered him when it was actually him murdering his own clone.
And Odo says something in this moment where he goes, murdering a clone is still murder. I'm like, but is it? Isn't it suicide? Suicide is technically a crime, at least in this century. I don't know about in, I mean, they get into it with Worf, but I don't know about in Star Trek times whether or not suicide's a crime.
Well, I mean, the thing, though, is it's a separate consciousness. They don't have the same consciousness.
Is it? Yeah. Do we know that?
I mean, I think we do.
Okay.
Jango and Boba Fett have their own independent thoughts. I know. So I'm just saying, for example.
For example.
I can't French.
For example. Boba Fett and Jango. They have different thoughts and feelings about what they are doing.
Right. So.
Please, for the love of God, let me play Poirot, but do it that way. There has been some sort of a murder.
Yep. So then we get Keiko starting her school. And Sisko smiling real big at the kids coming to learn.
Yeah, because Jake's there, and so is Nog.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they make them sit at different tables.
Yeah, because they're racist.
Yep.
Because they're racist. Da, da,
da, da, da. That's.
Yeah. What is it? Dun, ba, ba. No, that's. Linda Evans and John Forsythe, they're coming down the stairs. What is the DS9 theme?
Nope. Why can't I have it in my head and then I always sing TNG?
Oh, right, because it's very forgettable.
Yeah,
it's a lot of strings.
That's the end. That's the end credits. Yeah. Okay, I just changed the key to make it easier to hum.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What did you think of the episode, Melissa?
It's... Woof. No, it's not bad. It's not bad, especially for how early it is in the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's remarkable that it's palatable, considering it's in the first season. Like, just because, like, every first season of a show is really rocky.
Yeah.
That's universal.
Yeah. And this is, like, the second episode.
With some exception. Most long-term series. It's like, only Murders in the Building was gangbusters at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes you just...
Right. And this is not, like... The first season of Deep Space Nine is not... The first season of The Next Generation.
It's not that bad, no.
No.
It's just rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're shifting gears. They're, you know, car analogy.
Yeah. And it's a solid actual murder mystery with, like, clues and stuff, which is...
Yeah.
Hmm. I think I'll give it a 3.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. I forgot this episode because it was so early on.
Yeah,
I've seen
me too.
It probably about 5 times because I'll be honest, I had to start DS9 a couple of times to actually get through it. Or into it, not through it.
Yeah.
You know, because that, again, the first season, it's like, what is going on? What is this? What's happening?
We're not on a ship.
We're not on a ship. This constable's an ass. He's unlikable. Like, that's kind of his whole bit, is he purposefully makes himself unlikable. Anyway, but the first time I saw this, I had the same thought the second time, and then I remembered, oh no, it couldn't be that, because that's the thing I thought the first time, is that he cloned Odo. I thought that'd be fun. And then he made a shapeshift, you know, some with that, because the only person, you know, DNA, blah, 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 blah. But I remembered subconsciously that it was a clone. I think it's a really fun plot.
Yeah.
I think it also, I think its failing is honestly having a B plot.
Yeah.
With Keiko. Because, like, it's not bad. It's great that they give Keiko something to do and they set that up, and that's really good. but it does slow down the pace of a murder mystery, which is pretty high stakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the fact that, like, we could have gotten into the ethical ramifications of it.
Right.
Which, again, does set DS9 apart from TNG, in as much as that would have been the point of the TNG episode.
Yeah.
Whereas DS9 is like, this town is, it's a dirty town, and people get moited, and people don't like Odo. And that's the whole thing, is like, oh, this space station, you don't want your kids here, this space station.
They certainly get later into...
It's me, Garrick. This is what Garrick sounds like. Sorry. he doesn't.
They certainly later get into, you know, we got some morals here.
Oh, for sure. But I think the majority, at least in this, like, it's literally the third episode. So they're still setting stuff up.
Yeah, they're setting lots of stuff up. And they did. They seem to cram a lot into it. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole Jadzia Bashir Cisco dynamic is like, oh my God, we get it. Julian likes Jadzia. Jadzia doesn't care to couple, which is not true later. And
no,
then
it's not.
Mm-mm.
It's really not.
And then establishing that Cisco and Dax are buddies. It's like, all right.
There's like two scenes of that each.
Yeah. When really, more than.
You just need the one and then maybe one at the end, you know? And then also there's, you know, I'm glad that they get Jake and Nog like immediate, like in the series, but like you don't need the basically stink bug prank they pull.
No.
You don't. You could just have them meet and not get along and then have the reason they become friends be the school.
Yeah, I think that the stink bug thing is like the catalyst for Keiko, though.
I guess, but you... it. I don't... Okay. I can't sit and fix a script that's been out for 30 years.
I mean, there's... Was there a better way to do it?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. But as far as a murder mystery goes, it's good because, like, I watched it twice and going back and going, oh, yeah, once you know, like, the solution to the puzzle,
mm-hmm.
you see all the, you know, how easy it is, you know,
right.
to put it together. So it's a well-orchestrated mystery. And it would be, what's interesting about this episode is this would be a great film, like this premise
yeah.
of a guy gets framed for murder, but it turns out it's a clone. That would be a great, like, low-budget indie sci-fi film. And it would benefit from being an hour and a half rather
yeah.
than a part of a series in 45 minutes.
Right. And where it's actually probably only 20 minutes because we have so much B and C plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I think that, you know, it would have been better had they devoted more time to it. As it stands, it's not bad.
Right.
But it could have been better. So that's why it gets a 3 from both of us.
Yep.
It's like vanilla ice cream as opposed to vanilla bean.
Yeah. 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 Ooh, that sounds good. Vanilla bean ice cream.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. Best kind. I like it. I like it when they got the chocolate covered almonds in it.
Ooh.
It's very yeah. good.
Good, good. Good stuff.
Well, that about just does it for us, folks. I now call this meeting of the amateur. That was very red green. Did you watch that growing? Now call this meeting of the amateur detective club to a close. This is the sound of me falling asleep.
Dun, 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 dun.
Once you've seen DS9 once through, fall asleep to it. It's very comforting.
Very comforting.
Generally, not as loud as the other two. Generally.
Right.
Because they're on a space station and I like, Rattler! There's none of that.
Yeah, not nearly as much. Good night!